Good morning, and welcome to the Rural Survival Show with Tim and Laurie Spencer and Rick. Tim and Laurie are indisposed at this exact moment, and so we're going to begin right here and right now. We aren't necessarily going to be accepting any callers for about the first hour, and there is a reason for that. For the last several weeks, we've had a tremendous amount of, we've had a lot of callers and a lot of important information that I wanted to get out to you folks, didn't get out. And so for about the next, the foreseeable future, I'm going to be talking like a chipmunk on cocaine. And so if you'd like to grab a pen or a pencil, just in case it should happen that I say anything interesting or intelligent, you can jot some of this down, because I'm going to go kind of quickly. Not that it matters, but I prefer pencils because they never run out of ink. So here's the deal. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I want to start with, believe it or not, prayer and guardian angels. This is something that I wanted to just briefly get into. This is not going to be an extended conversation, discussion about these things in any way, shape, or form. But I want to just put an idea or two out in front of you. For you to think about when you don't have anything else to do. Back in the 1200s, as a matter of fact, I'm going to talk about Thomas Aquinas. Thomas Aquinas lived, believe it or not, from about 1225 to 1275. He was a Dominican philosopher. He is one of the seven doctors of the church. He's one of these gifted people who is just better at what he did than most of us. It just so happens that when it came to religious matters and thinking or considering our relationships with God and with the universe around us, he just was more insightful. He was a big old boy. When I say big, I mean they actually had to cut a half moon out of the community dinner table in order for him to be able to reach his food. I mean, this old boy had thoughts on many subjects. But so two of them I'm going to bring up right here is prayer and also your guardian angel. And no, this is not a religious discussion or an argument or anything like that. It is simply this. God established prayer in order to give his creatures dignity, the dignity of causality. In other words, what he's saying is that he is giving you the opportunity to make a difference. Causality means that cause, you know, there's a reaction. Every prayer and every good work makes a difference, possibly an eternal difference, without which those effects would not happen. Let me suggest this. When, you know, we all pray, and it's a little like we say Indian or Native American smoke signals. They rise and rise and rise until they're out of sight, and you just kind of watch them, and they're gone. And a lot of times, I pray, we all pray, and you wonder if anything's happening. You wonder if there is any palpable result, any tangible evidence of our prayers. And there's so much written about it. Like, for example, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am. You know, if you want to multiply, if you want a force multiplier, pray with somebody else for a cause. That makes a gigantic difference. But what I want to say about this is there are other things that I have seen which would which would give me the immediate impression that prayers manifest themselves not only does God hear your prayers, but they manifest themselves as something tangible in the next world. There is an incident where a guy in his 40s died. Well, he had a near-death experience. He died for a while. And he wound up standing on a hillside in a bucolic setting, looking out across in every direction, fields of white crosses. And he asked angel, his guardian angel, what are these things? And he said, every one of these crosses is every single time your father prayed for you. And then there was, at that point, he met his father, who he was not on terribly good terms with. And inevitably, this changed his life completely forever. It also gave him great, great insight into relationships between fathers and sons. But it also tells us something amazing about what prayers actually are. They don't just disappear into the clouds like smoke. They actually are heard. Now, remember Garth Brooks' hit song, God's Greatest Gifts Are Unanswered Prayers. look, not every prayer that you pray, you know, was it Command Sergeant Major Dan Page said people can't tell the difference between wants and needs. That's a fact. If you're going to pray for something you want and don't need, don't think God's going to jump right up off his throne and get busy for you. That's probably not going to happen. You know, if you're going to get up in the morning and pray that you can date Stormy Daniels or something along those lines, don't expect those results to manifest themselves. As a matter of fact, it is at this point I would like to mention God's greatest gifts could be unanswered prayers. And I know a man who would agree with me at this point, very powerful man. So, you know, don't think for one minute as you sit around praying for things that you're wasting your time. I promise you are not. Like I said, that was not going to be an extended conversation. I want to also move quickly to the subject of your guardian angel. Everyone has one. Some folks I understand have two. I can't get into how I would know that. That would be bad. But I will tell you this. This is what Aquinas says about that. Just about every important event in divine revelation is surrounded by angels. Angels are not... they're essentially the I think the first time they really were brought to everybody's immediate attention was actually the Jews, you know, going back thousands of years. Angels were a big deal to these guys, and they are classed as archangels, thrones, dominions, cherubs, these different choirs of angels. I used to know the names of all the archangels. I no longer do. Of course, there's Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, Sariel, and man, I cannot remember the rest, I promise. But here's the deal. What your guardian angel can do, angels, they're not little naked babies that need a hug. They, believe me, they're messengers. That I've seen, they don't really even have a sense of humor. It says just as important, angels can increase your mental energy. They can help you see the presence of God in other creatures, which is fascinating to me. Angels cannot directly move your will, but they can indirectly persuade your will through proposing the truth to your mind. In other words, they can silently give you good advice, which... I'll tell you, if anybody needs it, buddy, I do. Angels can speak in dreams. I got to tell you, that is a ton of fun. They can also make ordinary dreams good dreams rather than bad ones. Angels can pop ideas into your imagination. If you've suddenly had a creative idea that has never necessarily been a part of your imagination, do you not wonder where that idea came from? Well, Is it completely impossible to believe that there's a God out there that's you enough that he gave you your very own angel? No, it is not at all impossible. And I highly suggest that you give that some thought. You can also, your guardian angel can deliver messages to guardian angels of others. And so if you're having a problem with somebody, you can actually use your guardian angel in that way. I want to move on, believe it or not, to the financial area. Yeah, that'd be fine. All right. Oh, super. The financial situation. Now, I call these not, this is not financial advice for you. This is financial threats and opportunities which alter your prepping. They alter their threats in such a way that they demand your attention with regard to how you think and how you prepare. Right now, we have what is being described as a worldwide emerging market fiat currency meltdown. And I know, you know, maybe what you're going to say is, hey, hey Rick, you know, you talk about these things and nothing ever seems to happen. I've been watching and waiting. And I guess what you'd mean by that is you've been waiting for your swipe card not to work down at the Walmart. Believe me, that will be when the bomb goes off. What's happening right now, and I understand your lives are busy and you don't really necessarily have time to look around. You're busy with your wives, your families, your jobs, your hobbies. I get it. However, it doesn't mean nothing's happening. Plenty is happening. And we have about 15 countries. Some of these currency meltdowns are really serious and some are getting serious and some are in the more beginning stages. But the currency meltdowns are there in such a way that they could affect banking throughout the world because all of the banks are so interconnected right now with their debt that what can actually occur is a domino effect that winds up having our currency break down or the banking industry break down, which is going to start a debt contagion. Now, here's kind of what I wanted to say about that. Now, I don't want to spend a ton of time talking about the financials, but there was a guy out there. His name is Robert Kiyosaki, and he wrote the famous book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Now, what I would like to say about that is, and I see what, before I finish this, we're going to hit the break, and then I'll try to finish up this thought. He wrote this book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which my youngest son, he was a very mediocre student through high school till about his sophomore year when he went on break with some wealthy people. And I may have mentioned this. He came back, and what this man did, this man is from another part of society. He probably, you know, he's wealthy, has property down around the Carolinas. My son decided that he wanted to emulate that. So he read the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and what he found was that the conversations that take place around the dinner table between rich dads and poor dads is not the same. Rich dads talk about one kind of things. Poor dads talk about something else. My wife teaches in a very wealthy high school, 12-year-olds. When my wife brings up subjects like the ones we talk about, these 12-year-olds are well-versed. They're able to pick up a conversation about Venezuela or Donald Trump, or the deep state. These are 12-year-olds. You go to a public school, they're going to look at you with their mouth hanging wide open. They're not going to have any idea what you're talking about. And there's a reason for that. It's because it's the rich dad, poor dad conversation. They don't know anything about these things. My youngest son eventually got a job with one of the biggest stockbrokers, went through their program, finished college, in Springfield, where Donald Trump just was. He graduated out of the very room Donald Trump was in last night. Now he's number three in the nation in converted, in account conversions. And he's like 27, 28 years old. They gave him $1,000 as a gift to trade with. In 3 to 4 weeks, he's quadrupled it. And how does he do that? I will tell you how he does it. They don't give advice. That's not the kind of broker that they are, but they get phone calls. They get phone calls from wealthy people saying, well, here we are. There's a break.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come in an extremely critical time for RBN, because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially, because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
These are uncertain and very unstable times we live in. We are bombarded daily with the realization that our global economy is on the verge of collapse. Terrorists threaten our way of life and very existence. Natural disasters are increasing to levels never before seen by man. Our overall quality of life is threatened. More and more people are being proactive and are researching how they and their families can survive in the event of any disaster, natural or man-made. Gathering valuable life-saving information and keeping it protected is key to survival. Now, you can keep your valuable life-saving information secure and close for quick access with our Digital Survival Library USB drive. This means no scrambling around to find important information, as it is all right in front of you at a moment's notice. For further information and to order your digital survival guide for only $59.95, go to our website, ruralsurvival.info. That's ruralsurvival.info. Do so today. You'll be glad you did.
Good morning, and welcome back to the Rural Survival Show on Republic Broadcasting. I am your host, Rick. Tim and Laurie are on the line. But let's see if we can wrap up what it is I have to say about Robert Kiyosaki and your situation as I see it. My son has almost quadrupled the $1,000 that I gave him, that the investment firm gave him as a gift for being bright and attentive. And the way he's done it is he gets phone calls from the rich dads, okay? And they say, I have an idea. This is what I want to do with my money. Well, what he does is he looks at it to see what it is they want to do and why they want to do it. And there then at that point, he does research, basically going backwards, using the information that these guys have gleaned at the country club and from investment counselors and other wealthy and intelligent people that they know, doctors, lawyers, all the people that we call smart money, the people that get richer and richer, whether the market's going up or down. He uses their advice to invest his money and has turned $1,000 into almost four in less than a month. All right, now, here's the deal. I'm not suggesting that that's a thing for you, but this is what I am suggesting. Robert Kiyosaki has a brand new book out called Fake. And what Fake does, and I like Robert, he's a Japanese guy, but he's brilliant. He is exploring the difference between real assets and fake ones. If you've got a 401k, an IRA, a retirement account, anything like that, if you look inside to see what the contents of this is, you're going to find out that what the content of it is stocks, bonds, mutual funds, money markets. What those things all have in common is they're all fake. They're all debt. In 1912, J.P. Morgan said, gold is money. Everything else is debt. The dollars in your pocket are denominations of debt. Your stocks and your bonds, those are someone's debt. What is a bond? What is a stock? You've loaned people your money, your fiat money. You've given, when you buy a share of Apple or you buy a T-bill, you've either loaned Apple your money or you've loaned the government your money. As we stand here, you're much safer loaning Apple your money than you are the U.S. government, who is, if you will look at the U.S. debt clock, where our debt goes up by about, what, a million? I think it's about a million, about every 50 seconds, 50 seconds.
I think it's quicker than that.
If you look at usdebtclock.org, it is, if you've ever seen it, it is a panel of what must be 500 little boxes with numbers that are changing. Right now, usdebtclock.org has silver at $398 an ounce. You can buy it as of last night for $15.12 an ounce. Okay, so what am I suggesting here? I am suggesting that Robert Kiyosaki is telling you in real terms that if you don't own some gold or some silver or something tangible, a shovel, a rake, a gun, a chainsaw, then everything else is debt denominated. Now, when we do have this collapse, it's going to begin as a debt crisis. That's what it is. That's what these fiat currency meltdowns are. They're nothing more than debt crises. And the formula that all of these countries have followed is the exact same formula that the United States has followed. They've all done the exact same thing. And you might say, well, why? Why in the world do all these countries do the exact same thing? Well, because about every 10 years, there is an unbelievable transfer of wealth. When we have this debt meltdown, they're going to take all the money that you lose and they're going to keep it. Back in 2008, the average stock market account lost 50 to 60%. As I told you before, that money did not go to money heaven. Who got that? The people that got that are the same people calling my son with their ideas. You have to understand that they're on one side of the seesaw and you are on the other. If you don't like that, if you don't like being the victim all the time, you've got to do something about it. What we have here at this point is smart money is leaving the theater because it's on fire. They're leaving. They're using their money to buy tangible things. Right now, J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, Morgan Stanley, they have in their possession, physical possession, 71% of all of the available silver on the planet, okay? If that doesn't startle you, it should. They've also stopped shorting the market. When Bear Stearns went out of business back in 08, they basically were the... We will be back to try to finish up this thought after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I said again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Everyone, to the Rural Survival Show with Tim and Lori Spencer and Rick Schmidt. Today is Saturday, the 22nd day of September. Rick, I'm all stuffed up, as you can hear. Please continue, buddy. You're saving my butt here.
Okay. Well, that's why I'm here. So let's try to wrap this up, because I've got all kinds of fun stuff I want to talk about, and this isn't that fun. This is only necessary, and I'm only bringing it up because I love you guys and I want you to do well. If I could even save one life in a collapse, I would think my life had been altogether worthwhile. Not that I think I'm a marvelous person, but hey, some of us guys operate off this concept called stewardship, and that would be me. So these wealthy people know things that you don't know. You don't have to be the smartest person in the room, but you need to do what they do, and then that kind of makes you smart, just because you have situational awareness. You're watching what they're doing. All the smart money has been leaving the market for a while and buying tangible assets. They're buying property, they're buying gold and silver, they're buying anything but dollars. Okay, no stocks, no bonds, no T-bills, no debt-based anything. You might look at Robert Kiyosaki's book Fake. It might unlock the entire mess for you. Morgan Stanley has stopped shorting silver. Shorting silver, to be very brief, is how they've been controlling the price of silver for decades, by buying huge amounts of paper silver called SLV, selling it all in 5 minutes, and slamming the price of silver to the bottom. Then when they do that, they buy the physical stuff and they put it in the vault. Okay, right. Why are they doing that? Why do they do that? They're doing that because they know something horrible is going to happen. Why have they stopped? Why did they stop shorting? And who was stupid enough to buy their short contracts? These are contracts, gambling contracts is what they are. But who bought them? I can't even begin.
The banks are buying them, and I don't know why. The big banks are who's buying them.
Well, it's, if you ask me, it's toxic. That would, I don't even know why, you know. That'd be like loaning money to crazy drunk people or something. I mean, why would you do that? But they did it, so they no longer are short, which I can't say it's a smoking gun, but you should know this. Since they started in 2011, J.P. Morgan had no silver at all, none. Now they have 71% of all the silver on the planet. What is up with this? And they stopped shorting. They stopped shorting, which means they're no longer going to be personally controlling the price of silver. You might want to think about this. You might want to put two and two together. When we have a currency crisis, when we have a meltdown, the mortgages reset, they will make sure that the return on investment for the bankers is higher than the rate of inflation. The rate of inflation is like what? In Venezuela right now, I forget, is it 1,000,000% a year? I don't know.
It's not that high. It's like 200 and give me 260,000%, I believe, right now, from what I read last night, Rick.
Well, between 1980 and 2009, the Mexican rates went to between 50% and 78%. That means, and Venezuela, of course, as you mentioned, is at 60, right?
It's 60% a day right now, I think.
Well, so if you're wondering what's going to happen to your mortgage and how you're going to pay it off, you're not. So
no.
Here's what's going to happen. When there are all of these defaults, and I've had family members say, yeah, but they can't go around and empty everybody out of their house. Okay, whatever. What's going to happen is what happens is the same thing that always happens. And it's happened in every country till now. The inventory levels of the real estate on the market goes exponential straight up. When the inventory levels go straight up, the prices go straight down. What happens at the exact same time? Metals spike straight up. This has happened throughout history. And this is really the only thing I want to say about this. And this is where I'm going with all of this, is that real estate, like, let's say in my case, I farmland. Do I want an apartment building? I was a landlord for 10 years. I don't ever want to see that again.
I hear you.
But viable, tillable farmland would be something. If I can get into a situation where a guy's got 50 or a couple hundred acres and he's got no bids, and I have some metal that he'd like, I will take his farmland for the metal and run like I stole something, which is exactly what I will have just done. And And the other, this is where I'm going with this. I've seen situations where they still want $144 million, million bolivars for a chicken, or you can buy that chicken with a quarter of an ounce of silver. But what bothers me about this is that what you're doing is you're trading something tangible for something that's either perishable or not real or fake. In other words, why would you turn in? The whole reason that you bought metals, precious metals, was to get away from fiat currency. Why would you turn it back in for fiat currency?
Well, I agree.
So, yeah, what? Why? It's that's like breaking.
There's only one reason, Rick.
Yeah, what?
And that is taxes. That's the only reason.
Yeah, but as you know, in this state, as you know, in this state, the law is actually written that taxes are payable in silver.
Right. But I'm saying for most people, that's the only logical reason I can see turning any precious metals into fiat.
Or if you're starving to death and you didn't put any food aside, which, by the way, right now, let's be reasonable, food is way cheaper than precious metals. So, you know, that's your fault. You know, for $15, which is the price of an ounce of silver, you can buy a 50-pound bag of rice. Come on. You know, $50 gets you seven chicks. $17, $15 gets you seven chicks. So, but this is my point. It's one thing to have precious metals set aside, but don't ever, you shouldn't be in a situation where you've got to turn it in for something like food or something like fiat currency. That means your preps have been ridiculous. You have failed to store, you know, if you're starving to death, silver's going to do you no good. And I think we've been over this before. In fact, I know we have. So, store food.
Rick, what I think, if I can interrupt just a second, reality is going to be for all of us is, as far as the use of our precious metals, excuse me, is going to be a combination of barter, or the use, not just the use of our precious metals, but how we will survive will be a combination of barter, a little precious metals, buying and selling.
Right.
You know, that's what I think, and you got it.
I got it, yeah. So here's the deal. So with respect to barter, an ounce of silver is wonderful, but if the price goes to $600 or something and you want to barter, it's going to be tough to make change. So you might want to give some serious thought to the pre-1964, you can buy these. The last time I checked, they were 20 times face. So in other words, a pre-1964 silver dime, which is 90% silver, it is minted by the U.S. Mint, recognizable all over the world. 90% will cost you $2 for a dime. But at that point, if they can't make change, you're not leaving so much on the table. You don't want to buy a dozen eggs with a $600 ounce of silver and say, keep the change. You don't want to do this. So that's out. The other thing that silver is going to do is after the reset, what you'll be able to do with your silver is get back in. You could be able to go back in after we're coming out the other side, and you'll be able to buy tangible things like stocks, which are bottomed out, totally bottomed out, and real estate. And you'll be putting that back in as we come out the other side. That's what that would be for. So we better get on, Tim. We need to get on to skills real quick here. I think I spent way more time on that than I wanted to. Do you want to talk about meat storage without salt?
Right.
Yes. Let me do it.
You go for it.
All right. Here's the deal. There are some wonderful things that I just bought 4 more green bellies this morning, and so I know what I'm doing. Green bellies, okay, when you slaughter a pig, what comes out of their sides, which the Appalachian people will call your middling meat, okay, middling meat. So your hams are in the back, they're the back legs, your shoulders are up front, your roasts are down the spine on both sides, and the tenderloins, believe it or not, come out of the inside cavity after you drop the innards out. And by the way, inside there with the tenderloins is something that looks like great big white leaves of fat. It's called leaf lard. That stuff is pure gold in a gridiron or any situation, really, because while it is fat, it tastes like nothing whatsoever. So this is what you'd use in bread, pie, any pastries where you need fat, but you do not want pork flavor. With respect to, let's keep it simple. I'm going to tell you what about a ham, but I'm not going to tell you how to do a ham. I want you to do this if you got the time, and I wish you would. The best video I've ever seen on ham, curing your own hams, comes from the University of Kentucky College of Ag. It's a 14-minute video, and it is a professor and two young ladies showing you how to cure country hams. And if you've ever tried to buy a country ham, you know what I'm talking about. These things bring the price of gold. There are a few do's and don'ts. To do it right, you've got to look at the video. You've got to find out down at the hock, you've got to separate the skin from the meat, and you have to stuff as much salt and cure up in there as you can get up in there. So there's a joint right there just beyond the hock, which is called the disciple joint. And if a ham goes bad, it will go bad at that joint every single time. You do not want to put up some hams and have them all go bad. So if you look up Cure Hams, University of Kentucky, and by the way, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Virginia, if you know anything about this, those people know how to do ham. Look that up. There is, bacon. I just bought four more bellies this morning at about 8:30, and they're going for $3.50 a pound. They come in a case of four in my case, so you're talking 120 pounds times 3.5. No, that's not right. You're talking about 40 pounds times 3.5, I'm doing the math, is going to turn out to cost me about $140 for four 10-pound bellies. And I will turn those into bacon. One of the funnest things is a video done by Tim Farmer. I love his videos. He's a country boy. And he's interviewing a guy called Jay Caskey, who won Blue Ribbons his first year of curing hams and bacon. And it's a great video. It shows how to cure your bacon in gallon Ziploc bags. In short, I will tell you, we're at quarter till, so we got to get moving. You cut them into about 4 or 5 pound chunks. You use a quarter of a cup of salt, quarter of a cup of brown sugar, and you smear that all over the half of a belly, which will fit quite neatly, generally, into a 1 gallon Ziploc bag. So you're going to have two of them, right, for one belly. You put them in to the refrigerator. Really, you should put them in a dish so they don't leak. And there, then at that point, what you'll do is you'll flip them every day for 6 or 7 days. At that point, you're going to take them out. You're going to rinse them off. You're going to dry them. And this is very important. You're going to put them back in the refrigerator to dry, usually on a wire rack. And this is true with hams, and this is true with anything that you're curing and smoking. As they dry, they form on the outside what's called a pellicle, which is like a fat salt crust. And the pellicle is what accepts the smoke. And then at that point, and this is quite important too, I have screwed up a lot of bacon by not smoking correctly. The key to smoking bacon correctly is to get, you see, here's the trick. You don't want to get the internal temperature of your bacon much higher than 160 degrees, 145 really, if you can do it. So typically, in order not to creosote your bacon, which is you're trying to keep the temperature down, which means you've got your hickory or your apple smoldering, which creates stinky creosote, which makes your bacon taste bad. So typically what you'll do is you'll start a fire somewhere off from the meat. You'll run the smoke. Hot smoke. I mean, the fire needs to be looking like a campfire. It needs to actually have flames, not smoldering. But that smoke runs through a 4-inch like dryer tube up to where your meat is in a covered area. And some people just use a big cardboard box, believe it or not. And that will smoke for 4 or 5 hours. But when the smoke gets there, it's cold. Okay. And you're going to do that for 4 or 5 hours. But you want to tend that fire. You don't ever want that fire to go down to where it's smoldering, or you're going to be producing creosote, which is going to give you stinky, nasty bacon. And that's a lot of wasted money and quite the disappointment. So don't do that. You know, the art of smoking requires a little bit of thought. You can't just necessarily throw this in the old kettle cooker and think you're going to start a fire under the bacon. You're not, because you're going to cook the bacon right there on the spot. And that's not how you do this. So you've got to keep your smoke way back, but it's got to be hot. It's got to be, the fire's got to be rolling, and the smoke really needs to be cold. If when you're finished, your bacon hasn't reached an internal temperature, 145, that's fine. Simply put it in the oven, heat it up for a while till it's 145, take it out, wrap it up, put it in the refrigerator. You're not going to slice it at this point because it's going to be warm and wiggly. So that bacon needs to be cold to get sliced. But what I want you to do is I want you to look up the video where Tim Farmer interviews Jay Caskey. And it's only about a 7-minute video. They will show you how to make award-winning bacon without the nitrites and without the nitrates. And after the top of the hour, if you guys want to talk. Oh, I didn't hear it.
Yeah, we got a break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in about 3 minutes. Stand by.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting Truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And welcome back. You're listening to Rural Survival here on RBN. And Rick, you were talking about ham?
Well, ham, bacon, jowls. We could go on for hours about this, but I just got a text from one of my adoring fans, which they're asking about, you know, use table salt. You do not use table salt. In the first place, you do not use iodized salt in any meat curing for two reasons. First of all, and I really don't know why you're not supposed to use iodine, but you're not. So you'll use kosher salt. The other reason is you don't ever want to use fine ground anything. You can use sea salt.
Right.
You can use sea salt, but it has to be coarse. If you use fine ground salt, your meat will wind up, which isn't the end of the world, but so salty you won't even be able to really eat it. So you're going to use coarse ground, and the easiest thing to do, and really this is very important for people, if you're a prepper and if you're storing salt, and if you're not, I don't know why you're not. Yeah, this would be an explicit.
It's so cheap.
You're not thinking. Yeah, it's cheap now. However, they used to pay Roman soldiers in salt.
Yes,
so
they did.
It isn't always cheap. You know, there have been times when it's been precious. So, but you should be storing kosher salt and non-iodized salt. And non-iodized salt is wonderful for things. However, kosher salt is when you're curing your hams and you're curing bacon, hocks, jowls, you'll use kosher salt. There is another thing that is a ton of fun to do because a lot of these things are so fatty. Like, let's be reasonable, bacon is like half fat. The bellies are very fatty. But you can make something else, and we're coming up on the next break, so I got to speed this up, called buckboard bacon. Buckboard bacon would be the same thing, but you'll use a leaner cut of pork. You will use a shoulder, a picnic roast, a pork loin, or something that doesn't have nearly the fat content. You will put it through the same process as long as you cut this stuff down to about 3 inches, no thicker than 3 inches, 2 to 3 inches, because you need the salt to get in there. What you wind up with after curing, you're going to use your salt and your brown sugar in equal parts, and you're going to smoke that. You wind up with something very much like indistinguishable really from Canadian bacon, which is also a lot of fun. So it doesn't have to be bellies. You can use this same process with any green meat. Green means uncured, unsmoked. So if you go and you get yourself a picnic roast or on sale at the local market and you grab one, you can turn this into some form of bacon called buckboard bacon. So that is also a lot of fun.
Oh, I agree, Rick.
I would, however, suggest you look up that video, the Tim Farmer. Tim Farmer is a country boy with a lot of fun videos, but the one where he interviews Jay Caskey and they make bacon together is just wonderful.
Rick, we got a break, buddy. We got a top-of-the-hour break.
Sure.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in about 2 minutes, 2.5. Call-in number is 800-313-9443. Talk to you in a couple. Thank you.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.